ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 4. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I want to talk to you this morning about fiery trials. Fiery trials. There's something very significant about him saying, "Think it not strange, this fiery trial shall come into your world." These are things that he's been talking about from the very beginning of the book. He said in verse 7 of chapter 1, "The trial of your faith is more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire." He's come back to that now. He's come back to that because he's now beginning to talk to them about how they can do a little self-care, a little bit of reevaluation, a little bit of clarity, you know, kind of dialing in the focus on what really is going on. You ever have to do that? You ever have to take a minute, go back, find out who you are, what you are, where you are, why you're there? I know that I've seen many people in my journeys as a Christian that have gone through some very, very difficult times where they've had to deal with life in a way that was very hard, whether it be in loss of life or whether it be in loss of some abilities, the diminishment of life that is hard to have in our lives and watch in the lives of those that we love. All of these things are part of the human experience. We should think it not strange, this fiery trial that is to try us, because it's something that happens to everyone, lost or saved. Everybody's going to have a difficulty. Everybody's going to have hard times. In fact, there's a lie that is afoot out there that if you're a Christian, you're going to have health, wealth, and prosperity. You're going to have all the things you ever wanted. And the devil loves that one because that's a big, big disappointment when it doesn't come through. You live long enough, you're going to have a hard time. I know one surgeon was asked about his track record. He said, "Have you ever had a problem with this particular surgery?" He says, "If you do this long enough, you're going to have problems with the surgery." Okay. Well, if you do life long enough, you're going to have problems with life. And we need to remember the words that were very, very early written in the Bible. In the book of Job, the Bible says, Job writing in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." That's the earliest book of the Bible. He doesn't mention anything about Moses in Job, nothing about the law. He's one of the early believers. He had his own altar, had no priest. He's praying for his kids. And even at that early day, he understood life was made up of difficulty, trial, and trouble. Ecclesiastes, the wisest man that ever lived besides our Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Ecclesiastes 11:8 says, "But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, because they are surely coming." Now, my point is this. I want to talk to you about the fiery trials. You're going to have them. The people in Peter's audience that he's writing to had them, and we're going to have more. They're upended. They're put out of their place. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their homes. We've talked about that. But it's important for us to remind ourselves, because when we see something in isolation, sometimes we miss the application. You see, there are times when this book is going to be needed for you to go back to. You might lose something. You might be set back on your heels. You may have diminishment of ability, and you might need to go back to 1 Peter and say, "I need to remind myself what he said to them. Shoot your lines from Jesus. Go back and, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Don't just, you know, knuckle down and, you know, set your jaw and say, 'I'm going to muscle through.'" No, he says, go back and desire the Word, because there's something in there that will help you grow at this time. You may be groaning, but you can be growing. Okay, we got to figure it out. And so he says, finally, as he's come down through in the passage we saw last time we were together, he told us that the end of all things was at hand, and that what God was in the business of doing even now was judging the quick and the dead, that when they were confronted with the Word of God being at the hotel or in the hospital in a drawer, there's the Bible, and they're confronted with that. The quick and the dead, he that has ears to hear, those that are dead and hear, they will be given life in real time. People can be dead and brought back to life if they'll just listen to Jesus. And you and I become the poster children for him in our world. He says, you're being kicked into the Gentile world right now. You and I are being kicked into a lost and dying world. It's on wobbly legs right now. We know that. And right now we're being kicked into this world in a way that should bespeak to some degree victory, in spite of the fact that the world is upside down. He's in the minutia of our lives. And He would tell you, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He would tell you, rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what you're going through, try to figure out where the good ground is. There was a point where David was about ready to be stoned with stones because the raiders had come into the camp while he was away and they'd taken all the women and all the children and all the stuff. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was fainting, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, God would have us do that in these times, wouldn't He? Anytime you get a little bit overwhelmed or get a little tired because it's going on and on and on and it just seems like this world's getting more and more hostile, more and more caustic, more and more anti-God, we begin to realize we need Jesus more than ever. And He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's always good. And He never, ever does something wrong. So He's in charge. He's doing something. And this is why Peter would say to his readers at that time and to you and me in our time, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." Didn't say is going to. It says it is there for a purpose. I'm telling you guys, we've had a love affair with the world. Even though that doesn't mean we're out there doing all the things the world does. It means we've loved the comfortable things, you know. I remember years ago they would shoot things about psychiatric care and people would be in a rubber room. You and I are kind of like that. We're in a rubber room. We have this thing over here where people can trampoline all over the place, jump and flip and do, and it's all safe. America's been pretty safe. Okay, you can jump and flip and do and have fun. And never think for a minute during our week about what did I do this week for Jesus. Is that what He saved us to do? To go on week to week without really thinking, what did I do for Jesus today? I read my Bible. I prayed. And that's good. Those are the ABCs. That's where you start. That's where you continue. That's where you stay strengthened. But if that's all we're doing, it's not getting out and doing something, we're going to become a person who's all cerebral, very little heart. And so sometimes God knocks over the apple cart, and there we are sitting thinking, what in the world is this? Past couple of years, the apple cart's been tipped over. And it's been a fiery trial. Now, an interesting thing about this is it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you, but rejoice." Very interesting when he says rejoice, he's just saying simply find a way to be so thankful for what God is doing. The word rejoice will give way to another word in verse 13. He says glad, but then he says that you might be glad also with exceeding joy. So when he says rejoice and glad, he's saying simply rejoice. But when he says with great joy, the word there means with much jumping up and down. Okay, think about that. Do you remember when David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem? He danced before the Lord in his loincloth. He was down to his shim shorts, if you will, and he's dancing in the street. And his wife, Michael, says, "How glorious was the king today?" He says, "I will be much more debased in the presence of my God among the people because he is God and I am not." Now, I paraphrase there, but I'm telling you guys, listen, God would have us figure out a way to get in front of this thing and realize something good is going on. That's what this book is about. Don't think it's strange, this fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. But find a way to rejoice. Find a way to be exceedingly joyful. And that's where he's taking us. Now, the fact is that when everything's going well, we're not really having to find things to rejoice about because things are good. The hot water's in the shower, you know, all the appliances are all firing in the right way. The cars are all clean, got them all washed, got the garage straightened up. Life's good. Sitting out on the back porch with my sweet tea. It's all good. I like it. But all of a sudden, everything got busy. It got real busy out there, didn't it? Suddenly, it's like, wait a minute. There's evil on every foot and every hand. We're thinking, what in the world is going on in our world? God says, listen, I'm up to something. I'm up to something. And you begin to say, okay. I can't see. I walk by faith, not by sight. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we need to have that faith. We need to exercise that faith. If we never exercise it, it's kind of worthless. Okay. We can be all happy and resting in our salvation, but Paul would not be content with that. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And I can't know that unless I do some dying. He says, I'm not content to just have my sweet tea. I need to go out and find somebody, okay? And that's a challenge to all of us. I'm going to drill into something this morning. Like I said, I'm talking to you about the fiery trial. And this is a unique word here. It actually only shows up 3 times in the Bible, this word fiery. And 2 times it's in Revelation 18 dealing with Babylon's fall and all the burning that was taking place in that world. So this is unique as far as Christian fiery trials. This is unique for you and me. And this is talking about something that he's talked about earlier, but now he's calling it a fiery trial, probably because of what he said in chapter 1, verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. So he says there is a fiery trial going on in their lives. It goes on in that verse and it says that the trial of your faith being unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I made much of this at the time, but they were supposed to be the revelation of Jesus. In fact, it actually says that in verse 7 in the New King James. They write it this way, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus. So picture what he's talking about. The people are scattered into the Gentile world. They're scattered brand new believers, grassroots believers, Pentecost believers. These are the ones who were there. And the world's turned upside down, become hostile, chased them out of Jerusalem. Now they're in the hostile realms of the Gentiles, who they grew up to have a visceral hatred for. Okay, so now they're there. And those people in the Gentile world had an odious feel toward them as well. The Bible says in chapter 2 of Romans, it says, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. He says, you got it correct, okay? So here Peter is saying to his readers, he's saying, listen, this is a trial. This is a hard one. It's a trial by fire. And what God's doing is he's looking to get out of you a picture before these Gentiles of the genuineness of your faith, something real. You might have to work for them. Oh, don't want to work for them. Don't want to work for them. You might have to. And then he talks about that, doesn't he? He says, you have a froward master, treat him with love and he'll see grace. You know, those kind of things. So what I'm showing you is that he's told us about the fiery trial. He's now revisiting the fiery trial. And he says it's not something strange. And the reason it's not something strange is not only because everybody has a hard time down here. The whole of life is hard for lost and saved alike. This world is broken. This world is fraught with discouragements and hardships and sickness and breaking of hearts and breaking down of all kinds of things. That's why in Ecclesiastes he says, don't forget the days of darkness. Because they're going to come. If you live many years, they're going to come. If you've had a great run, it's going to come. It's going to be hard because life is going to end one day some way or another. I want you to put your mind around something though. He says, I want you to not think it's strange, this fiery trial. I'm going to drill into this and I'm going to take something you've heard for years. I'm going to try to unpack it in a way that maybe will help you understand it with new eyes, because I have. When I started looking at this fiery trial, I had to look and find where I might have seen something like this before. And I lit upon a passage, and it's in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. You're very familiar with this because it's one of those chapters that brings us up a little short when we're reading our Bibles, especially as believers that have got a few miles on us. Because what happens is we think, well, it's all good. I've been told I'm saved forever and life is going to be wonderful. But right now, fiery trials. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.